Welcome all. We circulated the agenda on Monday. It took, I had some documents later on. I'll just run through the action items. So I've reached out to Peter Koch, and he's on the call as well, to ask him, as discussed on the previous call, about the update. We'll ask him about his view on the item three, so that one is completed. The secretariat was to update the scenario document on the removal of list of country names. Again, that is included in under item five of the agenda. So again, this one is closed. And action three from last call, to update the overall method document and include the reference to the IDN CCTLDs. Again, that one is included as well under item six of the agenda. Any questions regarding the agenda? Anything you want to add or have questions? If none, then let's move to item three on the agenda, glossary terminology update. Can you go to that document, Kim? Thank you. So this is the version I circulated on the previous call, and I've circulated at the as discussed on the previous call. We reached out to Peter Koch. Peter is on the call. Peter, do you have any comments? Because you raised some very valid points in during the Abu Dhabi meeting. We just wanted to check whether these were addressed. Because one of the outcomes of the previous meeting was that we would try to use as much as feasible the terminology from the glossary for our internal discussions, but also to go to the, say, if we talk to the outside. I see an email.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Bart. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Just for the record, Eberhard of Niger is trying to get on the call. He's having a bit of an issue. So, but please go ahead, Peter. I'll take the your comments in the notes as well. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Bart, and good morning, everybody. And this is Peter, for the record. So, thank you for updating the document. I'm fine with almost all the changes. There's only one request for clarification that I would have. Kim, if you could proceed to the next page, the top of the next table.
Or is the document is scrollable, so you can do it yourself. But
okay. So if everybody is going to go to the top of the specific terminology in context of the ISO 3166 standard table, which is this table starting on page 2, I was wondering why the assigned, that the term, quote-quote, assigned, was categorized as not defined in the standard. Because from my reading, if any of the terms is defined in the standard, then that is assigned or allocated, which is something that is used interchangeably in the English version of the standard. The French version is only using one word. But in any case, assigned is what is on the list, that the details are with all the others that are or are not reserved, and so on and so forth.
This is Bart. I don't mind either way, but the reason for calling it not defined is, if you look at the other terminologies used, there is a specific reference in the sections 7.5 or 7, for example, where they are described.
Hi, Bart. It's Nigel.
Hi, Nigel. Welcome. And good you could make it. So it, it's it's not defined in that sense in the standard, but it, I fully agree with you. It is used across the standard. So it's up to the, I would say, up to the group whether you want to include one way or the other.
Thanks, Bart. Just to let you know, I'm currently without Adobe, so if you can continue to watch the Adobe.
Yes, I will.
Thanks.
Okay,
Peter, others, any suggestion whether to include a description? Because that's what it's all about, if it's defined or not defined. And if so, if you have a suggestion, more than welcome to include it.
This is Peter again. Thank you. And Nigel, we are on page two of the glossary documents. At the top of page two, actually. I would suggest to add a reference to section 5, section 5 of the standard, which is called Principles for Allocation of Code Elements. And then again, allocation and assignment is unfortunately used interchangeably here. There's no formal definition of allocation or assignment, but that is probably due to the fact that this is what the standard is about in the first place. All the other status or informal status are defined further down, but this is about being on the list or not being on the list. The reason I suggest to add a reference to that and maybe change the text in capitals that you added, Bart, is that for consistency reasons, the comments say for all the other not defined in the standard terms that it is not defined in the standard and should not be used in policy. Now, assigned is probably the one thing that we want to use in policy when we talk about going from assigned to somewhere else. So for consistency reasons, I think we should treat this as the standard and originating from section 5 of the standard.
Any other comments from other participants on the call? Any views? I'm fine with it, Peter, so don't get me wrong. Nobody? So I suggest that we include it as proposed by Peter. So I'll update the document accordingly.
Okay, again, thanks, Peter. Just to let you know, I finally made it into the Adobe room.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So I think there's nothing more to, so I'll update it and then circulate it again on the list so everybody is aware of it, and I assume we do not need any further discussion on additional changes unless, say, there is additional terminology developed by the group and or designated as relevant. Moving forward, so Nigel, I hand it back to you. We're at item number 4 on the agenda. That's the update change name scenario, and this and that's the that's change of code element effectively.
Okay, thanks, Bart. So we have in front of us the document entitled Change of Name or Code Element, and as we can see, the process is change of category in ISO 36611 through the transition retirement process to undelegated CCTLDs. Any comments?
Just for maybe this is Bart again for the record. Say just for the people who were on the call last time. There are no changes from the 20 or the previous version. Peter, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you. So I have listened to the recording of the previous session, but haven't found anything about this particular remark that I'm going to make here. Is at the in the first section, actually, or the first sentence in there, is still saying potentially resulting in determinants, the change of the country name or the two-letter code. Now, if I remember correctly what we discussed in Abu Dhabi, we had gone from change of name or code just to change of the code. And we had a very lengthy discussion about this, that being a two-stage process. The change of the name is going to change the code, but that is happening in the remit of the maintenance agency, whereas the output of the agency, which is the change in the standard that is of concern to us, would only be the change of the two-letter codes. And I hope I'm not misrepresenting here.
Yeah, no, please. Sorry, go ahead, Nigel.
Hang on, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we do.
Okay, sorry. That's a good point, Peter. I think a way to express this is that this document is relating to any change in the code, but one that's triggered by the country name. So I think the summary says one of the scenarios potentially resulting in the requirement of CCTLD is the change in the standard of the two-letter code triggered by country name change. Is that correct, Bart?
Well, I think we should make it simpler, and I'll revisit this because throughout the document I've started to use change of code element, and as a result of, you could say, the change of the name of the country and territory listed in the country or included in the list of country names. So these are all defined terms if you look at the of the standard. So I'll update this section because I say throughout the document itself, I started to refer to it that way.
Okay, but that's fine. I think we're all in agreement on this. It's just a question of tuning the summary at the beginning of this document.
Yep.
Okay, any other comments so far?
It shouldn't be spam because this is the third time you see it in front of you.
Okay, there's some typo stuff, but I can help you with that fly.
Yeah.
No sense in keeping people.
Sorry,
okay.
The service request is not available from this line. Please dial 100 for assistance.
Okay.
Was that?
Thank you. Yeah.
That was not
go
me.
Ahead.
I couldn't hear what you were saying, Bart. There was something came on the line.
I didn't say anything yet. I suggest that we go to the next document if there aren't any other comments.
Okay, sorry about that. There was a recorded message came through the line on this. If that's okay, then we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which I think is item number five. Description, removal form, list of country names scenario. Removal from assigned category and no new ISO code assigned. One of the scenarios identified by the group statement, was another time, is a move from a code element from assigned to transitionally reserved, and you've got a footnote on that. Do you want to have a quick word and then we'll see if there are any further comments on this?
Yes, because, say, what I've done is, and again, I've included, based on the publicly available documentation, I've tried to describe the two major cases to date, so that's .yu, so the retirement of .yu and the retirement .am. And so YU was removed at one stage and AN was removed at one stage. That is included. And then the next step, and used the questions that were we used for the previous document as well. So this is my summary. Probably you want to have some more details in it and or changes, but so this is just a first reading of that document. So I hope you had your time or you had the opportunity to go through it. So my suggestion is that I'll take you first through page one and ask if there are any comments and or questions relating to page one.
Okay, I'm not seeing any hands up my end at this point.
If none, let's go to page two. Are there any comments, questions with respect to page two, or you want to have more details, etc.?
Okay, I've got Naila.
Naila, go ahead.
Anna.
Thanks, Nigel and Bart. Yeah, so first of all, I need to apologize for not reading these closely ahead of time. So if we can be afforded a little bit of time, maybe a couple of days, to look at these closely and maybe respond with comments on the documents, because I can see the events are describing work that we did, and we just want to make sure that it all adds up correctly and is consistent with the work that we've done in the IANA reports. So again, I apologize that we didn't do this work ahead of time. I'm seeing these for the first time today, and if we could just have a little time to go over the facts that are listed here, we'd really appreciate that.
Naila, if I can reassure you on that, we operate this principle of nothing is decided at a single meeting, so that people who can't make the meetings always get a second bite at the cherry, any case. So you needn't worry about that. Just on that principle alone, this will be gone through again at the next meeting.
Excellent. Okay, so then we will commit to having a good review done by the next meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, you were going to say something else?
Recirculate it again. Peter, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Bart. This is Peter for the record. So on page two, the bullet item list, third bullet item, CS was never delegated as a CCTLD. I'm not sure I understand how to read this, because we know that CS was actually delegated for Czechoslovakia, but maybe in the context of why you this is addressing the fact that it was not used there.
You're right.
The way it stands, it is not correct, but maybe in some context it makes more sense.
I'm sure you can add some extra words in there to make the context clear, Bart. Is that correct?
Yep.
Nelly, you still have your hand up. Did you have a second point?
Kim, go ahead.
Sorry, old hand. Let me take it down.
Okay, Kim.
I'll contribute to Naila's review, so you don't need to note this down, but since we're looking at this section, I think it's worth making clear that in the SU context, the addition to the exceptionally reserved code elements wasn't at the time that it was moved to transitionally reserved, but actually happened as a wholly distinctly different act, like over 10 years later. I think that is material in our analysis when we get to it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Okay, thank you, Kim. Any other comments on this page? Are we on page two or page three? I can see both
page
on the screen
two.
At the moment.
Page two. Let's go to page three. Any comments there? So if you didn't have the time, please don't hesitate, but please send your comments to the list. Any comments already on page three? Don't see any hands up. Page four. none, page 5. Don't see any comments, not in the chat. And page 6, the list of reference material. None. Okay, thank you. So I'll take away from this call, from this today's meeting, I will send an email tomorrow morning to the full list asking people to, if they have any comments, to circulate them, say, up to 2 weeks in advance of the next meeting. That's the, or 1 week in advance, it's more, say, the 11th of January. So you do have some time. But be aware there is the seasonal holiday in between.
Okay, Bart, thank you. Is there anything else before we move on from either you or anyone else?
Not on this item.
Okay, then we move on to item 6. Revisit overall method, next steps, and update the document overall working methods. So just to remind everyone, this document is describing how we're doing things at the moment, and it seems an appropriate time that we've reviewed, I think Bart, you'd agree, quite comprehensively most of the relevant retirements or quasi-retirements that we've had, and time's come to move on to proposing what a, at least in overview, a policy should look like. Bart, have you any comments on the document?
Yes. First of all, that was again from the previous call, and I'm going to page number 2, is I think Kim raised this, and just as a reminder, I've included the, say, the eligibility requirements under the IDN Fast Track, and these are the same as under the overall policy. And these are relevant because they are related to the ISO 3166. So two requirements are related to the ISO 3166. One is to be eligible for the IDN Fast Track process, country of territory must be listed in the ISO 3166-1 list. So that's one. With one exception, and that's the eligibility of the European Union, because it was included in the transition or exception reserve code, and this is a direct quote from the Fast Track process. The second one, and that's a relevant one as well, is with respect to the meaningful representation of the name of the corresponding country and territory. One of the scenarios we discussed was around the change of a name of a country and the impact it had on the list of country names. You could imagine that, say, the meaningful representation could change as well as a result of the change of the name of a country. And then the question is, this is a hypothetical, but what would happen with the IDN CCTLD if that were the case? Because my assumption would be that it would be something similar as with, for example, .tp and .tl or .zr to .cd. So again, that's something to look at. I wanted to capture these definitions, so at one point you'll be able to revisit it. The second major change I've made in the document is adding Section D, additional structures or initial questions to structure the policy development process. And these were just a few comments or questions I thought are based on the issue report, etc. And probably this is a good time, or the upcoming meetings is, or the upcoming period, is a good time to start thinking about the questions which are relevant and which need to be addressed. If you do have already and thought about some relevant questions, do not hesitate to start raising them, because I think that will drive the development of the policy itself. Another thing that is not addressed yet, but thinking about it, is the comparison of the scenarios, say what happened in the past. It's part of the, I would say, the analysis of the cases to date. So that's the second threat that for you. It's, say, for example, if you look at the two scenarios that are described in the two documents we just discussed, there are some similarities, that's clear, but there are also some differences. And it might be useful to look at the similarities and the differences and to check whether these are the result of the evolution of the retirement process over time, and that's a good thing that Naila and Kim are on the call, or are they are meaningful. For example, if you look at the .yu and the .an case, there is clearly the transfer of the .yu and .an CCTLD to a caretaker. This has to, this was the incumbent and is the manager of one of the new CCTLDs, but there is a clearly an action of transfer of management. I don't know whether it's meaningful or that's something to take on board, but at least it's one of the things I've noted. Secondly is, and this is, again, one of the differences, is the transitional, I would call the transitional arrangement. That is, once the decision was made of retirement, there was a arrangement in place on the one-hand side between Ayana Aiken and the CCTLD manager, but so that's with the change of code elements, so that's more a bilateral arrangement. But in the case of, say, the code of, or say, the removal of the code and replacement with new codes and the delegation of these new codes, it is a almost a multilateral or, say, a tripartite arrangement. So in case of YU and in case of the .an, it was with the, say, the new or intended managers and Aiken Ayana. So, again, there is a difference in transitional arrangement, and that results in differences in roles and responsibilities, etc. And then, so that's probably something for a small subgroup of the working group or the full working group to start digging more deeply into, say, the differences and the commonalities under these different scenarios and check whether these differences and similarities are meaningful. But that's the analysis part. And what is not included yet, but I think is relevant and that was discussed, I think, in Abu Dhabi, and on the last call, is a third part, and that's starting to develop stress tests. I say at one point this policy or the recommended policy needs to be able to address some of the issues that are currently or that you could imagine. For example, one of the issues is, assume the retirement process has been initiated. What about a transfer once the process or event for the for issuing or for initiating the retirement process? What will happen, and who should be involved in a transfer of the DCTLD? And again, under the requirements of the RFC 1591, as interpreted by the FOI, there is at least, say, the significantly interested party do play a role in a transfer, and the incumbent CCTLD manager as well, and a future CCTLD manager. But I think, say, if you would look at the significantly interested parties with respect to a CCTLD that's under the retirement process, probably that's one of the scenarios or a stress test on how to deal with them. And I could imagine some other issues as well. So that's with respect to the stress testing. I think it would be worthwhile if, again, either the full group or a subgroup would look into stress testing, and I'll update if you agree that stress testing are relevant, I'll include it in the documents. That's with respect to this document, Nigel. Back to you.
Okay, Bart, thank you very much. And I again notice no hands leaping into the air. Any comments on everything Bart's just said, please?
So Stephen is on the plus one stress testing.
Okay, Peter, I see you're typing in the chat.
Yep.
Okay, we're starting to get a trickle of comments into the chat window. So far, generally, I seem that it's going to express support. I'd be interested to know if there are any contrary views or any comments on this. Nick's in agreement, Patricio's in agreement, Svetlana's in agreement. I'm not seeing anybody in disagreement, Bart, so I think we have unanimous, or at least NEMCON consensus on this.
Yes.
Bart, any further comments?
Yes, so what I'll do is update this, include it in the document, and recirculate it tomorrow to the list. And also ask people to sign up to one of the three groups, if you agree, who starts to do the work. Say one is on the analysis of the different scenarios. We start with doing this, so looking for the commonalities and differences under the different scenarios that will inform the developing of the overall policy. And I will emphasize this in this document as well. Secondly, the second group is maybe a small group of subgroup of the working group to start thinking about initial questions and maybe even take the next step at what is considered relevant around the development of policy itself. And then the third one, and I'll include that one, is a small subgroup to do the to start developing stress testing. And if you want to, you can sign up for all three of them, of course. But if each of you would say sign up to at least one, I think then we can spread the load a little bit. That's all on my end with respect to number six.
Bart, that's great. That seems to have covered it really well. I'm just going to take one short pause to see if anybody has any final comments before moving on to the next item, which is item number 7. Any further comments on item number 6? No, in that case, we shall move on to item number 7. There's no document for this. This is just entitled Chair 2018, and this is from me. Some of you will notice we had an election in the CCNSO recently. As a result of the outcome of the election, I'm being nominated to the ICANN board. Both the vice chair, Eberhardt, and I discussed what this might mean in the medium term for the work of the working group. And we both think that while there's no absolute prohibition on this, we think that the PDP should not be driven by a board member, since it's the board that actually formally ratifies the outcome in due course. Accordingly, we will, at the relevant time, need a new chair for the working group. And while the board nomination will not take effect until Q3 of 2018, I think the interests of the PDP are best served if we make this change relatively quickly. And I'm proposing that I step down and we appoint a new chair with effect from the 1st of January 2018. I'm intending to continue to be very active in the policy side of the work that we're moving on to shortly, as in the proposal of the policy, after the reviews that we've done comprehensively. While there's no prescription either, both Eberhardt and I are in agreement that it's extremely helpful for the work of the working group that the chair should be a member of the CCNSO Council. Eberhardt's content to remain vice chair, and he has suggested that we propose Stephen Deerhake for chair, and again, effective 1st of January. So before I throw this open for comments to the group, I need to ask Stephen to indicate formally that if nominated, he'd be prepared to accept. Stephen.
Thank you, Nigel. Greetings all. Yes. And I will try to run it going forward to the standards that were set with the retirement group, the FOI group. And I have been asked by the CCNSO chair to also agree to this, so I'm agreeing to it. Thank you. I trust you have the...
Yeah, I'm pleased to hear that. Can we have some comments from people on the proposal and the way forward in terms of a chair for 2018?
Nigel, this is Bart.
Bart, go ahead.
Just for the record, and this could be done by email, as you know, that's a no-brainer, but say formally at the nomination of the current chair or of the working group, the new chair will be appointed by the CCNSO Council. Oh, everybody's aware.
Yes, Bart, thank you for pointing the formality at that. That is absolutely correct, which is why I'm suggesting that we discuss it briefly now, and if everyone's in agreement, we report back to the CCNSO Council in the minutes that we've discussed this, that we have a suggestion, and that the CCNSO Council can formally decide this at its next regularly scheduled meeting, or if... we can do this before and by email, then it could take effect on the 1st of January or as soon after there as possible. Does that make sense?
It could be done by email, so that that's a no-brainer, but just so everybody's in the clear.
Thanks for that.
And Stephen.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I mean, just wanted to say, well, obviously, congratulations, Nigel. Very good work. And thank you, Stephen, obviously, for indicating agreement to continue. I suppose my immediate thoughts are about, well, a few thoughts. Firstly, that We're sorry to be losing Nigel as chair of the group, because we do actually seem to have got to a point where we've got through some of the initial procedural stuff and we're getting a bit of progress here. So I'm a little bit sort of sad to see Nigel go, and it would be quite nice to have that momentum contained, continued. So I'm sort of thinking that is a sort of a bit of a downside, and I know there isn't an absolute rule that says that you can't be on the board and do this sort of thing, but your board appointment obviously doesn't start for quite some months. So just wanted to just test that. I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying that I don't necessarily agree it's as obvious as you think it might be. And I just wanted just to get, you know, when I'm trying to explain this back to my CCTLD stakeholders, what's going on, that I've got it straight in my head, firstly. So that's my first thought. And my second thought is actually when, for example, Avery was elected to the board and she was one of the co-chairs in the subsequent procedures, PDP for next round of new GTLDs, she did actually stand down, although quite close to her appointment. And what happened then, I'm pretty sure there was a public call for expressions of interest, and then the leadership team made the decision. It wasn't a vote or anything, but there was a bit more of transparency around this, because I worry a bit about, you know, obviously it's in the UK, it's sort of 1:46 in the morning, and I don't want this to be sort of stitched up essentially between 11 participants. I think I'm very content with the outcome. I'd have no interest myself in doing it. I don't have the capacity, and I think Stephen would be perfect. But I just think there's a sort of a way to do this which you know, makes it a more inclusive and transparent process in terms of the procedure to get to inevitably the same outcome. And I'll be guided actually by, whether this is normal or not normal. I don't suppose the CCNSO has had that many PDPs and probably hasn't had one where the chair's stepped down quite shortly into the substantive work.
Yep. Thank you, Nick. But both very, very useful points. I think the first half of what you said, I think, mirrors exactly what my position or my view of the matter is. No, there is no absolute prohibition. I could stay on until 5 minutes before, stepping down from council and taking up the board seat in Barcelona in about 9 months' time. Having been through the redelegation and then the FOI working group and seeing how the dynamics gel together and how the groups work, and I'm very pleased to see that some of the same spirit seems to be infusing the group now. I think the longer time we have, the better. It also gives me a tiny little bit of what you would call bandwidth in order to be able to give my own input to the substantive document, which will be starting to be drafted fairly soon. Looking at the way things are going with the agenda and items and so on. So that's the first point. In terms of the rush, there's no rush at all. To be in fact, it's the exact opposite. And I'm really able to stay on, as I say, for a few weeks and so on. But I was hoping that Stephen or whoever, if anybody else fits the criteria that I believe that are ideal, would be able to take over from the next teleconference in the year, which, Art, if you remind me, you mentioned it earlier in the call, is about the third week, second or third week in January?
The second week, the 11th.
Yeah. So that's just my thinking. I'm willing to be guided by the mood of the group and, in fact, of CCNSO Council, but I think it's important that the working group has a view on this. and hopefully a fairly consistent view. So what I'd like to do is to put out whatever we decide, or decide's not the right word, but whatever feedback I get to this proposal right now to the CCNSO Council, and that means going out to the email list for the people who aren't on this this call here, and then if we get a positive response, then we can do this as quickly as possible. Does that answer all of your concerns, or did I miss anything out, Nick?
I don't know. I think that gives a much clearer steer. And I just think, we just need to leave a good audit trail as to how this has been gone about. And first of all, Stephen would be the obvious candidate, and I'm sure no one else is going to be interested in in doing it. So that's great. But I think probably the right thing to do is to not pre-cook it, and to say that and to put it out for open candidacies for the council to consider. As I said, I'm pretty sure we will inevitably end up in exactly the same place, but I don't want it to. It just feels wrong that it's a sort of a fait accompli at this stage. I mean, I think with Avery stepping down, it was pretty much a fait accompli that Cheryl Langdonor would step into it, but there was a process whereby anybody else could put the hat into the ring, and essentially then she was selected, having gone through that preliminary step. And I don't think, given the Q3 appointment, that we're under a tearing hurry to do this anyway. So, but yeah, hey, at the end of the day, this is not something that I'm a particular stickler for. I just sort of want to state it that's my gut feel, having heard it, I'm persuadable if there's a sensible other way, and I'm also extremely pragmatic, and also most importantly, I want to make sure that the group is effective and continues on with it in accordance with the time frame for the work that we originally set, and to not be too distracted by this sort of stuff.
Yep, thanks, Nick. First of all, I think your intervention is extremely helpful in any event. So don't feel you're being a stickler. You know me, I'm very much a stickler for the rules and operations. So while I said those two things that we mentioned earlier are not absolute prohibitions or criteria, in terms of I suggested that we should have a council member as chair, and I also suggested that a board member should not be. I think there is one thing that definitely is a prohibition or a prescription, and that is the chair particularly taking over midstream absolutely has to be a member of the group and has to be an existing member of the group. We can't put it out for open tender and have somebody who's not worked in the last few months on this group coming in to be chair, because that is a recipe for the sort of things that we see in our national parliament at the moment. So I hope you agree with that. So it's got to be somebody from the group. So if anybody's actually interested, then when we put it out on the list, please do say so. I'm not going to put you on the spot now and insist on that, but other than that, and unless anybody has anything else, let me have a quick look at the Adobe, because I've been struggling with that. I think we've probably covered it. Bart, let me put it over to you briefly while I see if I can get the Adobe back. Okay, I see two hands up. I see Stephen and Barak, and I didn't see which order they came up in. Stephen, you want to take it?
Even you're on mute.
Bart, do you want to take it?
Yes, briefly. I see Barak has his hand up as well, but I just quoted in the chat the rules from the charter of the working group, and it confirms what you said, Nigel. The chair has to be a member of the working group, not so much a councillor, although it's very advisable, and it he or she should be nominated by the working group and then appointed. So my suggestion is that you send out a note tomorrow morning informing the full working group and then provide a week or 1.5 weeks where people could nominate an alternative. And if not, then we still you still have the chance and the time to ask council to appoint the new chair. But
yeah, that's very helpful.
Can I step in here?
Okay.
Yeah, Stephen. Go ahead, Stephen.
I want to thank Nick for his comments. I agree, it'd be nice to have Nigel stay around longer. And first and foremost, I really don't want this to appear to this group that this is a preordained coup. I believe where Katrina was coming from with her request to me was that somewhere in our various CCNSO guidelines on the operation of the CCNSO, and I'm on the Guidelines Review Committee, so I should have this at the tip of my tongue, but I'm afraid I don't. There is some discussion about the chair of working groups being CCNSO council members, and perhaps Bart can recall this clearer than I can. And that's where we came from with this, like, who's going to succeed Nigel thing. It wasn't a preordained, let's just, you know, steamroll the group, which is not my intention at all. And if, in fact, the charter states that we need to put it to a decision of the working group, I'm very happy to do that. I just cannot remember at this point in time the exact wording of the guideline with regards to working group and working group chairmen. Thank you.
Stephen?
Okay.
What is in the chat, this is Bart again, what is in the chat is almost a direct copy from the guideline. It was used to draft this bit of the charter. So from the charter, at the nomination of the members of the working group, the chair and vice chairs of the working group will be appointed by the CCNSO Council. And the chair and vice chair should be members of the working group, so that's the first bit. And then the second bit that you referring to, the chair is the representative of the working group. If the chair of a working group is not a member of the council will appoint a CCNSO liaison to act as an intermediary. So that would be the outsider. But in principle, say that's why it's really, as you said, it is very handy to have a councillor as chair to ensure that everybody is informed timely on progress, etc.
Yep, thanks, Bart. I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Barak. Your turn.
Thank you, Barak.
So, Barak.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
We can, yes. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I wholly support what has been proposed, that we have the transition as early as possible, purely considering where we are in terms of discussions. The group has gained significant momentum, and I think we don't want to take actions that probably would derail the pace that we are moving at. So first, I would just say that as proposed by Bart, we inform the larger group through email with the rationale of why we are doing what we are doing or the decision we've taken, and at the same time give a provision for anyone else that is interested. But we have to emphasize on the reasons why we would go by the proposal that we've made. First, to have a member of the CCNSO Council as chair, and secondly, the same member having been a member of the committee from inception, so that we don't have to get stuck in terms of a new chair trying to understand where we are and how we are moving. Thank you.
That's very helpful, Barak. Thank you very much indeed. Nick, you're next. Your hand is up, and I think, Stephen, you've put yours down again. No, it's just Nick.
Oh, hi. Yeah, sorry, can you hear me now? Just a question for you, Nigel. I mean, presumably you'll still be a member of the group, even though you're elevated or anointed to the ICANN board. And if you weren't a member, I think it would be helpful for continuity for you to continue to attend these meetings, if nothing else, as a liaison. And also, I think it's actually quite useful, because at some point, as you say, the recommendations out of this will go to the CCNSO Council and then fundamentally up to the ICANN board. So it'd be useful for you to be well cited on the on all the discussions and history and progress from that perspective. I'm thinking, is that what you were intending, or were you intending to bow out gracefully and the other things?
No. Again, you have it exactly. I'm not intending to parachute. There's two comments on that. First of all, we have history on this. Chris was a very, very valuable member of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. I mean, there certainly is a mild sort of perception of conflict, not exactly conflict of interest, but but then on the other hand, there is exactly what you said, the ability, like, for example, with the national judge in the European Court of Human Rights, you have the ability to have your finger exactly on when informing the other board members when the eventual work product comes before them. So, no, I mean, you're absolutely correct. I don't intend to abandon ship. I actually will probably find a little bit more time or bandwidth to do some substantive work on the wording rather than moving the deck chairs around. Does that reassure you, stroke, show you that I think we're exactly ad idem on this?
Yeah, that's very helpful. And perhaps when we put out the email to the wider group explaining this discussion and setting out essentially what's going to happen, that it'd be nice to put that in, because I found that quite reassuring. And it was implicit, didn't explicitly say it, so it's just nice to have it, given that we're talking to lots of people in non-native English speakers and people who have dipped in and dipped out of all of this. It's just quite useful to not assume any prior knowledge or any implicit position that you would continue, obviously, to be part of the group. But that's really helpful. Thank you, Nigel.
Yeah, thank you. Do we have this? Is also we've spent a little bit of time on housekeeping, and we've run into our soft half hour, but that's fine. Any more comments on chair, or shall I get on tomorrow and draft something, run it past Bart, and send it to the whole working group? Is that a suitable outcome to this discussion? You can use the little flags, the agree things on Adobe, if you like. Barak agrees on the text chat. Well, unless I and a tick, thank you. If that's the case, we'll move on to the next agenda item, if there is one. Can you let me scroll down this? It's just housekeeping, I think. Bart, would you like to talk?
No, it's about the say meeting in, at the request of Alan, this is included, the meeting in Puerto Rico, whether we will have one or two meetings.
Okay, thanks for the reminder. Well, sorry for being unclear. That's what the sort of thing I call housekeeping. Peter, you obviously have a proposal. Would you like to speak to it?
It was Alan.
Sorry, Alan, beg your pardon.
Actually, Bart, are you referring to me? I guess I'm the only Alan here. I guess you're referring to the comment I made online at some point. I was raising rhetorically. I feel we get so much more work done when we're face-to-face that we should try and eyes that time when we're in Puerto Rico. So so I just wanted to raise it early in the process because I know how difficult it is to schedule rooms and people's time, so I'm interested in hearing what others might think. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. I think from what you and I both call early, and I call it early, the meeting planners have possibly a different view. It's very helpful what you said about face-to-face, and we did very well in Abu Dhabi. I'm wondering whether two meetings is the best way of doing that, or a slightly longer or marathon meeting on a single occasion. Bart, have you got any view or any input on that? And I'm watching the Adobe for hands.
I'd say, given the schedule, it will be rather, again, difficult because it's not just one working group. What I foresee, and this is the disadvantage of having two meetings, separate meetings, we did try it at one point with the FOI as well, is that during the meeting it will be very difficult to update any documents. My suggestion would be that you better have a little bit longer meeting, not the 90 minutes, maybe for two blocks, and then do a real prep work. And I think we've changed the dynamics in the sense of it is time that the group starts to work and that we run through these three parallel tracks and deliver the document or have a fulsome discussion about these different documents at one single session, but longer. It's difficult to update them in between the sessions, but it's up to you.
Okay, well, Alan has just said, yep, it's up to you, Bart, by the look of this. Good point, Alan. Any comments from anyone else? Not seeing any. What I'm going to suggest, Bart, is that you see what you can do over the next several days about maximizing the resources in terms of time and meeting and meeting rooms and so on, and come back to this with what you think the best way forward is. I don't mind having a longer meeting with an intermission in the middle or something like that, as long as it's like a 5 or 10 minute break halfway through a 90 minute meeting, for example. I'm going to leave that to you, and hopefully whoever the new chair is will be hosting the team.
I say what I'll do is I'll circulate say the two to as part of the working method document tomorrow. I'll include that in that email, say, the suggestion, or not the suggestion, say, the pros and cons of one and two meetings. And if people can provide feedback, I already see the upcoming chair has a preference for a single longer meeting. it's probably easier to schedule as well, given we stuck with either the Sunday or Thursday for these meetings, given, say, we got the tech day and the CCNSO meeting days on the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So these are the probably the variants. And then again, updating is an issue all into that as well. So that's it.
Yeah, thanks, Bart. And I see an interesting suggestion from Stephen regarding maximizing this by a follow-up teleconference, also a good suggestion. If there's no more comments, then I think we're into item 9, which is any other business. I'm not notified of anything previous to the meeting. Is there anything anybody wants to bring up ad hoc under any other business? Nothing from Barak, he's mentioning in the chat. Not going to wait too long for people to jump up. Next meeting's 11th of January at 9 UTC. On the 25th of January at 17 UTC. And again, unless there's any comments from anyone, I propose to adjourn the meeting now 10 minutes past 0100 UTC. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.